Greetings, venturers, and welcome to another episode of The Venture Maidens. Now, before jumping into today's episode, I just want to take a second to ask you guys, really implore you guys, to help us out with a little bit of viral marketing, aka talk about us on the internet, on iTunes, leave a rating and review on Spotify. You can also, you know, join our Instagram or our Patreon or our Discord. We're everywhere. There's so many ways for you to talk and interact with us, and any kind of support that you guys do, it really helps us out. Speaking of which, I want to thank our Patreon donors for getting us here, as well as Alex Shea for letting us use his website, Tabletop Tapes, for music for our show. And I'd also like to tell you about today's sponsor, which is Kobold Press. Yes, that's right. Again, Kobold Press, our dear friends. They want to ask you a question. Do you want to learn the secrets of elven magic, blast your enemies with battle magic, build cunning mechanical servants with clockwork magic? The Deep Magic series from Kobold Press has all this and more for 5th edition. Time magic, rune magic, illumination, nearly 20 PDFs with new ones coming out all the time. In this series, you'll find new magic schools, sorcerer's origins, warlock patrons, feats, spells, magic items, and more. My goodness. So you can go ahead and pick up your copy of the Deep Magic series for 5th edition at www.koboldpress.com. One more again for those in the back, www.koboldpress.com. All right. Now, last time on the Venture Maidens, our heroes headed into the Yugoloth Sanctum with the help of a magical cat named Butterscotch. They surpassed a series of puzzles to get to the final room, only to discover that the creature that they had been searching for had been disposed of by their fuzzy guide weeks ago. They struck a deal with Butterscotch, which allowed them to fulfill Bartleby's request for the Book of Contracts, on the condition that she would be allowed to join up with the Sisters of Sorrow. And that's where we left off. Thank you all so much for listening. Now let's jump into today's literal game-changing episode. The adventure awaits.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our heroes head back from Chasiana, but a strange encounter forces them to say goodbye to one of their own. What is with these wayward wagon waylays? Who is this strange sorcerer after our warlock? Will the Sisters of Sorrow intervene on our maiden's behalf? Find out in episode 55, 13 Vandals.
Oh, crap. Coconut. Girl, I'm learning. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Venture Maidens. I'm learning. Give me 1 second. I'm going to fix Brittany's face.
Oh, sorry. Oh. It does need some fixing. That's very true.
I'm on it. just a hot second there. And speaking of hot seconds, welcome to the Venture Maidens podcast. Let's just go right in. Oh, Nassim, your flower crown. Bae.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we got our points of inspiration last time, so I forgot. I actually invested in a crown for once.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is lovely.
But anyway, welcome everybody to a new episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. My name is Celeste Konowich, and I will be your dungeon master today and every day.
My name is Brittany Quintero, and I will be your moon elf warlock, Arnadella Thill.
Oh my god, yeah, the energy, I love it.
Yeah, bring it up.
I'm Nassim, your human monk, Sayonur.
And I'm your boisterous barbarian, Cara Brunhilda.
Oh, boy. Cara Brunhilda. That should have been your new voice.
Next time.
I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, oh dear. Last time we played a pretty long game, so a lot of juicy bits happened last time. Last time we left you off, you were standing in the Yugoloth, so the Arcanoloth's old bedroom, with his corpse that had been rotting dead probably for about 2 weeks or so. Butterscotch has been numbing on this body. You had fulfilled your part of the contract, sending that book back to Bartleby, and as you had done so, the building had shook, and you had heard this just draconic scream of anguish coming from somewhere back. Probably towards the front of whatever this space is. So you're all standing there now, and Butterscotch, you transformed her to look like a fluffy white Persian cat.
No, she looks like Grumpy Cat. She thinks she looks like a Persian cat, but I'm like, nah, bitch, she's Grumpy Cat.
You can't grumpy.
Even see yourself.
So you have a Grumpy Cat there, and then this horrible sound coming from somewhere in the building.
We must run down to make sure our friend is not harmed.
Well, Arnadel's already taken off because Alistar Fitzpatrick is there. Actually, before she does that, she's going to grab you guys and then do the thing with her familiar where she looks through her familiar's eyes.
Sure. So, yeah, you go limp as this happens, and your vision transfers, and you see just this flash of, like, blue and white as you see falling chunks of, like, stone, and then there's this blinding flash, and your vision kind of spins. So, and you see just this spinning, like, as maybe he's being knocked through the air by something, and you get the sense of pain, and you just see, like, white and dazed confusion.
So my baby's been hurt and knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when I come to, I'm like, I guess I just grunt, yell, and start sprinting towards...
Yeah, and as you do so, you can throw open the door that led you from, like, the atrium kind of area into the lounge. But as you open up this door, you see it opens up directly onto the bathhouse room. By some kind of magic, it just has led you back out to the entrance here. And it looks like there was a fight here that happened. You see, like, all those beautiful mosaics before are smashed. Furniture has been thrown over. There's water everywhere. You see, like, the pink bubbles beginning to disperse on the ground. Yeah, and chunks of the ceiling have fallen in. There is no sign of the Drake anywhere.
I'm not looking for the Drake. I'm looking for my baby.
Okay. So it takes you, you're a frantic moment as you're just moving rubble. You see Alistar's small little collapsed form kind of pressed underneath, like, this chunk of the ceiling. And he's, yeah, been knocked out
I
cold.
I pick his ass up and I put him in my robes!
Oh, little baby.
And I'm gonna do, like, a quick, like, what is it, stabilize or whatever? Is he, like, unconscious?
He's not, like, zero okay. hit points unconscious. He's just, like, got hit by
his
something.
His brain touched his skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and as you pick him up, he lets out a little, like,
oh my god. Yeah, put, like Abu in Aladdin, you know, when they're in the snow scene. Yeah, yeah, I do that, and then I'm like, all right, like, look around, back to you guys. I'm done.
Yeah, and he's also gone, like, full raven at this point, too, because he's clearly was scared.
Little boy.
All right, well, we best be out of here, then, I suppose.
Wait, I want to know what happened.
Yeah, looking around, it does just, yeah, there's no sign of Bigby, Mordekainen, or the Drake. It's just like somebody came in here, had like a wicked fist fight, and like destroyed the room. And now everything is like eerily quiet except for like this little stream of water like coming from that grand bathtub before that's now like been toppled over.
Well, Arnie, didn't you say you saw her name on the list? I think maybe Bartleby's already taken her for himself.
Yeah, so looking at the scene... you can tell now that there are, like, some icy, like, scorch marks. Like, Harmonia doesn't breathe fire, but there are signs, like, a breath weapon went off in here, or, like, a large creature was flailing around. So your guess would be that somebody appeared suddenly, attacked Harmonia, and took her, is what... And she clearly wasn't, going without a fight.
Got it. All right, cool. So I turn, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
No time for apologies. We must probably best begin to move on.
Yeah, and as you make your way out of this through the double doors you came through, you're back in that decrepit warehouse space that you were in before. And as you all step through that kind of pink misty curtain that's now beginning to disperse as, you know, the tubs are drained and wrecked right now, you step into this place and suddenly you realize there's no longer a door behind you. There's just a blank wall where the entrance used to be. And Butterscotch is, another sanctum lost. Pity. Well, anyway, shall we? She looks up at you with her ugly, grumpy cat face.
All right, well, we're back to the house then, I presume?
We don't need to go back, but do we want to go check on Rashad and his daughter?
That is a good idea.
Yeah.
That way we'll know whether or not Rowan's deal is also for sure taken care of.
I don't trust Bartleby as far as I can throw him.
All right. And 1001 nights in, we go.
Are you making any just like walk in down the streets, taking a cab, any effort to be cover your tracks or be unnoticed or?
Yes.
Looking totally average.
I'm looking at you guys, I'm like, yes.
Sure.
I don't know, it's the middle of the day, right? I feel like if we go out of our way to be sneaky, that's more suspicious than just being like, oh, look, I'm buying some bread from the baker. La da 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 da.
A delicious caramel apple. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, if you want, it's still, like, very low traffic in this area. Those people who were in the warehouse a couple ways down loading something in are gone now, so there's really nobody around.
Yeah. Saya trying to not be suspicious, very suspiciously.
Extremely suspicious.
Says out loud, man, there's no bookstore here. Why did that guy lead us down this hall of warehouses? What a waste of time.
Butterscotch looks at you with, you think it's disgust. It's hard to tell, though, on a cat face.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, so who's going to carry me?
No, you have one. Four fucking legs. You can walk.
I might get trampled.
Probably not.
A deal's a deal. You're protecting me until you get me you back can, to the Sisters
you, Okay, we can protect you from ourselves whooping your ass and bigger enemies. You can protect yourself from not getting stepped on.
You are a cat, are you not?
Saya, she doesn't trust her, but she's so, like, fluffy and pretty, and she kind of wants an animal companion herself, she's like, you know, if you get tired, you can climb on my shoulder.
She purrs a little bit, and will, for now, walk on the ground after you. So you do, you make your way through, this was the dock ward of town, so you make your way towards one of these smaller kind of commercial docking areas where you can get, you know, a water taxi back over to the night district, and you make your way to the 1001 Nights Inn. So by the time you get there, it's probably, I think you arrived around 2-ish or so, so now the sun is thinking about setting, so it's around 5:36. At this point, when you finally approach the doors of the 1001 Nights Inn.
Walk inside, look to see who's behind the bar.
Mm-hmm. As you walk inside, you hear this before anything. There's just music coming from inside and general revelry going on immediately. So as you step inside, you can see that this bar is already packed with patrons, with people. You can see that Rashad and Sadia are running around the place now. You also, looks like a couple other humans, maybe just extra help has been brought in, like, last minute, just navigating through tables, and again, yeah, just sitar music, and just, this place is popping, right now.
Tight. Oh, awesome. Sweet.
I wave over to Rashad and try and get his attention.
Yeah, and as he sees you, this smile just splits his face, and, like, you can just feel, again, his joy. Like, this man just fills up rooms with his emotions as he comes over and he, like, sweeps through and people move out of his way because he's just so massive. And as he stands before you, I can't thank you enough. I don't know how you did it, but the weight, it's gone. And he looks down at his wrists. You're not sure what that is, but he looks up at you and he takes, like, your hands in his giant, massive ones, and is like, if there's anything I can do for you, of course, drinks over here. And he ushers to one of, like, the human waiters, They come over. Yeah, what can I get for you?
Oh, a strong scotch, please.
Absolutely. Just, find space somewhere.
Sai's like, I'll take one, too. This is a celebration. She's crying. She's so happy for him and his mm-hmm. family.
Yeah, Rashad turns around and he's like, everyone drinks free tonight. Celebrating freedom! And everybody's like, yeah! You know, it's only like 5:30, so there are only a couple cups in, but this is gonna get pretty Ooh, crazy. Boy.
Good times.
Yeah, let's get crunk.
Yeah, fuck it. Our mission's somewhat accomplished. Yeah. I'm tending to Alistair Fitzpatrick. Is he conscious? Is he okay?
Yeah, he after a while, you know, he wakes up and he's just kind of, he's scared.
I'm gonna give him,
he's being very sheepish.
I'm gonna give him like a little drop of scotch, because I will also be drinking scotch. You gotta thin the blood. If he's got like a little bit of swelling, you gotta thin that shit. Like, so I'm gonna give him some scotch. I'm gonna put some fucking ice on his little tiny head.
Oh,
he sits there holding his ice cube head.
I just like how aggressively you said it. So it's like I'm imagining you with a tiny little ice cap. Like, here, take some fucking ice for your fucking little head. I hope you fucking feel better.
Yeah, but I like, because of how much I love him. So yeah, that's what I do.
Oh my God, fabulous. All right.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, they are absolutely ready to put you up for the night too, if you want to stay here and party. They're so fine with that. They all are really, really busy, but yeah, the festivities just continue.
Yeah, while we're sitting here talking, Carl asks you, so do you think that we should go and see Duke Rowan this evening, or should we put that until tomorrow?
His fucking ass can wait.
Yeah, we are here to have a good time. I am. Sigh. I'm finally drinking with you guys. This is so much fun.
Oh my
Why
God.
Why did I do this? God, scotch is good. Woo! She becomes such a woo girl the second she starts
Oh my God,
that
I believe
drink.
That so hard.
It's like, oh, Carl, you're so cute.
Yeah, Carl. Yeah. Like, what's up?
Carl, do some push-ups.
Oh my God. I have no idea what to do with myself. And just like twitching and chuckling and smiling like really awkwardly. Like, okay.
Is this the first time we've ever seen Kara fucking uncomfortable?
Maybe, yeah.
I think it is.
She was never expecting her friends to hit on her.
Like, drunkenly. Yeah. Like, we're drunkenly kind of fucking cruising. Like, oh, we're yeah. terrible.
Yeah. Especially her, like, asexual friend here, like, hitting on her. It's like,
I didn't know you felt that way about anyone.
Arnadel drunkenly turns over to Sai and is like, Saya. And she starts giggling. She's like, was that the first time you saw a ding dong?
What the fuck?
No. Just because I don't have a man person around doesn't mean the penis is a foreign object to me, okay, Arnie?
We don't know. We don't know. I told you guys all about being a virgin like forever ago, which wasn't that long ago. But I actually just now realized I never asked if you were one too.
Well, no. It was a long time ago. It doesn't need to. No more scotch, please. No. He's a good friend, that's it.
Was he someone from your monastery?
Ooh, juicy.
No, but I knew him because of the monastery.
Well, I'm going to forget about this because I'm drunk right now, but I'm super excited to ask you about it later if I remember, because I want to know.
I hope you do, baby.
Oh my God, yeah. This is girl talk. We haven't had girl talk in a long time. Sorry, Carl, you're not a girl right now.
I guess I was never really into girl talk anyway, so.
But we like talking about Gidget.
Speaking of, how is Gidget?
Yeah.
You getting it in the Gidget?
I'm afraid she does not like me in this form, unfortunately. Hopefully I will get a break later.
This is fucking fun.
Best D&D ever, guys. We are so good at D&D.
Drunk D&D.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to close this scene whenever you want, or what's the decision for the evening? Are we all going to camp here at the 1001 Nights Inn?
I mean, I feel like Kristoff and everyone else is going to be really worried if we don't come back, because I'm pretty sure they were expecting us to come back, and they might think I'm dead.
I guess we're all trying to, like, drunkenly decide, like, we're all making a drunken, case about staying or leaving. Carl would be by far the most sober, having the most experience with hard liquor.
Yeah, so Carl definitely advocates going home because he don't want anyone worrying about us. We might get a dressing down tomorrow.
Do want to see Aaron, you guys. I'm sorry.
All right, well, you, Carl, you can carry me if I pass out, okay?
I will certainly do that.
Okay. Butterscotch is slurping out of your drink, Sawyer, at this point.
That's so funny.
She just, lip, lip.
She, like, grabs her head every once in a while. She's like, you're so pretty, you're so cute, I love you.
She's like, this is very fine human liquid.
I know. I don't have it that much either, but I kind of like it now.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. And this is where Saya starts her college party days.
Yeah, this was the moment. All right, so we're going to head out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So eventually, yeah, you know, and you all start standing up and Rashad comes back over again and just wishes you well and again offers you free rooms and you're welcome back anytime.
Give him
and
a good stern handshake.
As he does, his hand is like so warm. It's like holding hands with a comforting fire. Aww. Like in your home fireplace, like wrapped in a blanket is what it feels like.
I give him a sloppy drunk hug and it's got to kind of pull me off because I'm like falling asleep on him.
Yeah, you come up to, like, his, like, belly button. He's like, oh. It's such a good hug.
Carl peels you off of him. Because you're just like, no, he's so warm. She, like, peels you off of him and, like, shoulders you, like, with your arms over his shoulders and, like, is holding your legs as we start walking back.
I got two big, strong men tonight. Ooh.
This is my favorite. So eventually you manage to extricate yourself from this party that is definitely going to continue long into the night. And as you make your way through the streets, it is super busy right now in the night district. They call it that for a reason. There are drunk people everywhere stumbling around in groups, like you walking into one tavern and then immediately stumbling to the one right next door, you know, when they get thrown out of the first one. There's music in the streets, so people are just playing in different alleyways, and you can see now all of the, like, the street lamps are lit up, which are these arcane bright balls of light.
We definitely walk in all the very well-lit areas, because I'm not losing these drunk bitches on the way home.
Nobody's getting robbed. And you do, like, as you keep your eyes out, you see that people, like, try to bump into you on, like, easy marks. All the way. So you have to definitely keep an eye on everyone. Butterscotch has attached herself to you, Sawyer.
Butterscotch is on Sawyer, who is on the back of Kara. It's just like a tower. Yeah.
You have a stack. And you eventually do, you know, you find a boat. There's a lot of boats going on right now, taxiing people all over the city, trying to get people home. You know, all the drivers are like helping people down into the boat. God. You hear some splashing as people fall in. Like, it's a mess. Typical Friday night out in the city. So you do eventually make your way towards the edge dock that you entered before, and you have this journey east ahead of you. Your wagon is still parked in this, like, parking lot space. And there are a bunch of other people who are also leaving the city now. So you see, like, these drunken groups, like, where's my cart? Like, people.
Dude, where's my cart?
Dude, where is it? My wagon. Where is it stationed? Anyway. All right, so you want to get on that cart and settle in for a nice three-hour ride?
Oh, definitely. It's the right cart, right?
Yeah, you managed to find your cart. Who's driving?
Me.
Because I'm proficient with land vehicles.
That's very specific.
Hell yeah. All right. So Carl is driving. What's the situation? Like, who's sitting where?
I think we're both sitting in the back together singing loudly.
Mm-hmm. Like, just the equivalent of, like, living on a prayer in our world.
Yeah.
Like, singing our hearts out. Oh, yeah.
Trying really hard.
Yep.
Sorry.
After, like, 15 minutes or, like, 20 minutes of us singing, I start, like, dozing off and, like, start cuddling the cat.
All right. So, for the first hour, somebody go ahead and roll me a d20.
I'll do it since I'm driving. 18.
All right. Carl, why don't you go ahead and give me a perception check?
Okay. Ooh. 22.
Ooh, okay, nice. At this point now, so you're on hour three, so you're getting a lot closer to these estates. You've begun to see a few of the smaller ones pass by intermittently, so you're making the jump from, like, farms to, like, pleasure homes as you're moving further off into the country. But now all the traffic that you were traveling with has totally died off. You are the only ones out here. It's, like, it is dark tonight. There's no moon out above, so you're just rolling through this country road. And you see that pulled off on the side of the road ahead of you is a wagon. It looks like a fairly, more like a carriage, actually. It's you can see it in the distance, but barely. It's painted black with these silver kind of accents on it. And you see, well, you don't see any people or anything around it. It's probably about 10 minutes up the road from you.
How is the terrain surrounding, like, next to the roads?
So, right here, it's all very flat and open country land.
I pull the cart, like, off the road to skirt by them. So they have, like, basically, like, 100 feet between, like, the road and us.
So as you do so and you kind of, you know, take the wagon off, and if you all are dozing in the back, you're certainly, like, disturbed as you lose that nice, even
jolted
road, and you're going off-road in now. And as you do so, you're watching this cart, as you're making this wide circle around it, and then you definitely see lights on the inside of the carriage, like, sort of when you get parallel. Like, they turn on suddenly inside.
I reach my hand into the back and start shaking them, Arnadel and Saya, awake. Wake up. Look over there. There's that cart. I think we might be headed for some trouble.
I want to see if it's from Phelan, because fucking black carriage and silver shit. Like, I want to identify it, basically.
So that would be perception from this distance.
This is a trap. There's always a trap.
I rolled an 11 for perception.
You, with that, you're squinting. It's so dark, and, like, the carriage is dark. You're pretty sure you've never seen a cart that's designed like this. Not in Phelan, not in...
Okay. It's, like, not this arena.
No, it's sort of weird markings, actually. Like, you're thinking maybe elven motifs?
That's not my lady, is it?
It's a fucking drow carriage.
Oh, shit!
Sorry, that was very loud. I'm sorry.
That's a gift for me later when I edit. All right, so you are parallel with this cart. That its lights turned on.
Gonna keep on going forward.
And so as you continue to pull this cart around, you do see that the carriage, some activity starts around there. You see people. Two people get out of the carriage on the far side, and it looks like they're unloading something.
The carriage isn't, like, damaged, right? Like, it doesn't have, like, a wheel conveniently popped off. It's literally just pulled over. It's not like the Oni all over again.
Nope. So you're still off-roading, so it's a little bit slower going, and you see these two figures. They lift something out of there. It's like like a large box that you see they carry, one on each shoulder. So like there's somebody maybe sitting inside. You can see there's like a curtain, but it's also like vertical. Like, you know, the, like the Pope boxes?
Oh, yeah. Or like in the Emperor's New Groove when Kronk is carrying Yzma.
Like a
exactly.
Palancron?
Yeah. So so they unload this and they are starting to walk into the middle of the road.
I want to detect magic.
Oh, yeah. So much magic.
Coming out of the box?
Coming out of the box.
So they're moving a magic thing.
Uh-huh. So something super freaking magic in the box. The cart, the carriage is magic. The people have magic on them.
Drive faster, Carl.
They haven't spotted us, right? Like, they are not paying no...
You know, they haven't given any indication, but, I mean, if you can clearly see them, they can most likely clearly see you.
Okay. I think we should just casually keep on rolling and take mental note. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I am all for keeping going.
Okay.
We are already so close.
Blows forward. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and so you continue, like, sheepishly rolling this cart forward, and then there's a sudden flash of light in front of you, and directly in your path, you see that there are 8 people standing there. Adventurers, and welcome to the Midroll. Today, I want to talk to you all about our Patreon. First off, thank you so much to everyone who continues to be a patron of the show. You have bought our equipment, you have made our merch, you have sent us around the country for conventions, and now you are funding getting Venture Maidens published. That's right, gang. After some reflection, we overhauled our Patreon and have updated our goals to reflect these changes. Our new top-tier goal, and we are only $20, by the way, from hitting it, is to start the process of publishing playable Venture Maidens content. This means turning episodes into playable modules, writing up items, classes, perhaps even launching a world book. The possibilities are endless, and with your help, we can get there and kick this project into high gear. We've also updated the Patreon, so now everyone in our Discord who donates gets these cool titles with lots of bright colors, and it's been a lot of fun for our little community. And it'd be great for you to join us. I've also launched my Captain's Log over on Patreon, which are audio blog posts where I talk all about behind-the-scenes stuff going on in the world of Venture Maidens. So if that sounds interesting to you, just $1 a month gets you in there to toss out suggestions or questions you want me to talk about. It's all on the table. And of course, I always have to say, please, 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 if you enjoy the show, consider leaving us an iTunes rating and review. And a review on whatever your podcast platform of choice is. Also, give us a follow on social media at Venture Maidens all across the board. All right, I've talked your ear off long enough, so let me tell you about this week's sponsor, and then we'll get right back to the episode. This time we have for you a new role-playing game, The Great American Novel, which is now on Kickstarter. Developed by Christopher Gray, creator of The Happiest Apocalypse on Earth, a game nominated for the 2018 Ennies Product of the Year, The Great American Novel brings a literary framework to role-playing games so you can play the same dramatic, character-driven experiences you find in literature at your table, using a system built entirely around your characters, their motivations, and the conflicts that get in their way. The game can be used for any number of settings, including those found in your favorite novels, films, or television shows, and always presents a complete fictional experience with a satisfying conclusion in every session. Please look for The Great American Novel on Kickstarter and help make this passion project a reality. Backers will get a complete, ready-to-play beta version of the game upon funding. So go to christopher.world for more information. Brought to you by Gallant Knight Games. All right, folks, that's all from me, so enjoy the rest of the show. two of them bearing this box on them. So it's like they suddenly like teleported to instantly be in front of you. And so the two holding the box on this side, and then there are two other guards on one side and two, or yeah, so eight total people. And these people are elves. They look like wood elves, specifically.
Oh, no.
And they're dressed in a very strange... They're wearing these black robes with these silver-stitched symbols on them. But it's not, like, typical elven. It's odd. They give you, if you had to guess, a culty vibe. And they go, and they're just looking at all of you, and they reverently set down this box.
And they're standing in the road?
Mm-hmm. Like, directly in front of your cart. And so they're staring at you, and they, as they set down this box, you begin to hear a voice coming from inside.
My liege, it has been so long. I got your message. I suppose it's time to end this while you wear a mortal suit.
And you see a curtain pulls back. The creature inside is horrifying. As you look at it, it's like the face of a bird of some kind, this long, wicked beak pointing down in front of it with this pink and gray mottled head. This thing claws forward, and you can see it's got a staff, and as it does so, it has to because it's got this hunched back, and this just very strange little ugly creature emerges from this and is like bobbing as it moves forward with this cane. It only stands about maybe 4.5 feet tall, hunched over. And then you see all of these cultists like stand directly to attention, ready.
What the? I keep plowing forward. I do not stop that cart for nothing.
That he will twist a clawed hand, and suddenly you feel the cart just stops in front of it. And it actually begins to float a little bit off the ground as he's just dangling it in the air easily.
Oh, I do not like this one bit.
Oh,
what do you want? Who are you?
Put us down.
You travel with the Raven Queen and do not know what I am or what she did.
I do not see a Raven Queen here amongst company, do you?
I'm not the Raven Queen, you idiot. Have you not seen her? Clearly you haven't.
Well then, if you are not, this will be all the easier.
Go. And as he does so, we're going to have to roll some initiative as his cultists begin to storm the
wagon. What the living fuck? I'm so confused.
All right, initiative.
Your Raven Queen fucked shit up when she possessed you, yo.
Yeah, that, obviously, yeah, that's like, okay, all right.
17.
I got an 8.
I rolled a 21.
Oh, cultists got a 1. Nice. Arnadel, so we are starting with you at the top here.
Real quick, I want to do an arcana check to see if I can figure out what the fuck I can about this main dude, because he's going to be my fucking MO. That's going to be a 14.
With a 14, you aren't really sure what this is. Clearly, this has something to do with the Raven Queen and something she might have done in the past. This creature's not happy about it. They're clearly some kind of spellcaster.
Is it an elf?
This thing, I mean, it looks like a like a hunched vulture thing.
Oh, the Skeksis? What are those called? No?
I bet they're Shatter guys.
No, like from the Dark Crystal. You know what I'm...
Oh, it looks exactly like that, yeah.
Ooh, okay, so I'm very, like, grossed out by this thing, and I'm just like, ugh, I just gotta fucking deal with this fucking shit. What am I gonna do? I am going to... What is this? Hold on, standby. I have, like, I want to use a beefy spell.
Wipe out those cultists.
All right, fine, you're right. I just wanted to... You guys know I want to go after the main magic caster. Fine, I'm going after the main magic caster. I'm gonna hit him with my beefy-ass Eldritch Blast. I'm gonna go for all points.
All right, you can try.
All right, fine. Fucking Sage. I'm gonna follow Sage's advice. Two beams.
What?
Two beams. I'm going for two. I'm gonna take out two motherfuckers. So let's see.
Okay.
The first one is a...
I will say there are two of the cultists who look a little bit fancier than the other six cultists. They were the ones holding the bucks.
That 25 to hit one, and oh, hell yeah, that's a 26 to hit the other.
Okay, yes.
So first one's going to be 8 points of damage, and the second's going to also be 8 points of damage.
Ooh, easy math. All right, so you pepper them with Eldritch Blasts. They don't seem too concerned. All right, and then moving down, Saye. So right now you're also in a cart that is clearly not, it's not stable at this point. Oh, you know what? I need to give Butterscotch an initiative too.
Oh, great. What's the cat gonna do?
Rude. I guess you'll see.
I'm gonna cast Hold Person on one of the fancier cultists.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead and try.
He needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
Against 16.
Ooh, he definitely made that.
Darn it.
Womp womp.
Then I'm gonna fucking do it again. <'Cause> I have an extra attack, so make another saving throw.
Okay. Ooh, that's a fail.
Okay, so he's stunned until, I think, the end of my next turn.
So he is held. How do you do those? Like, how do you imagine Saye cast these?
I think it's very... She's manipulating the air around the person's body, so it's essentially, like, keeping a very high gust of wind at all times, forcing this person to stay still. So it looks like he's going crazy. His clothes, his hair is going real fucking crazy, but he's not moving.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Love it. Do you have like a hand, like a Tai Chi move?
Yeah, exactly. It looks like some slow kind of like Tai Chi or form of stretching, something that she does. And it's constant motion. So a part of her always has to be like fiddling with the element for it to be moving.
Yeah, and did you want to move or do anything?
I will hop out of the cart and just be like under off to the side, so in case it fell, it's not gonna crush her.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you easily hop down out of the cart, facing off against these fools. And then Butterscotch. Okay, Butterscotch is going to say something. Can't hear exactly what it is. And then suddenly you hear a popping sound, and then on the ground, you see your old buddy, the Arcanoloth, pop up, like, in the middle. And he is, like, rotted and, like, disgusting as he's standing there on the ground with his spellbook, looking pissed.
What?
So that will be Butterscotch's turn.
I am so perplexed.
All right, so Butterscotch does her summon, and then my turn. Okay, so the vulture thing, that's a bonus action? Yo, all right. I'm going to need everybody to make me a wisdom saving throw. DC 20.
Love that.
Natural 20, goddammit. Oh, thank God.
21.
I'm going to use my gift of the past to reroll that.
Fair enough.
Oh, that's much better. Thank goodness. 21.
Wow, y'all are so lucky. So this blast of, like, psychic energy comes out of this creature, and he's just, like, casually swirling the cane about. Oh, let me see if Butterscotch gets hit by it. Nope. Okay. And so this blast goes out, and you feel your joints almost lock into place for a moment, but then you fight through it, and he's like, And that was his bonus action, so now... Yeah, he's just gonna cast a fireball.
Oh, okay.
Rude.
I'm gonna grab a beer for this.
Yep!
Alright, dex saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
A natural 20.
Oh, shit. With my plus 7, I rolled a 12.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Unnatural. A modified 20.
Ditto.
So Saye is the only one who doesn't make it. So the rest of you will take half. So half of 54.
Good. It is
27.
So I get 54 damage.
Whoa.
As he casts this fireball at you. And it's just cavalierly, and the wagon just explodes around you, like with the heat and the force of everything coming off of it. Okay. Butterscotch boops out of existence.
I see.
Then he will walk back 30 feet. So he's just like, and then walking away.
So much.
To stand behind this wagon. All right, and then Kara.
Oh, sorry, because I was trying to remember my thing for my shield master feat. From the fireball, because of my shield master feat, I'm going to use my reaction to take no damage instead.
Hide behind shield!
Ha-ta!
Heck, it's yes. That quintessential, like, fire-breathing dragon scene where you're
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. Love it.
So all right, good.
So you take no damage. Woo! Fine. But now it's up to you.
All right, well, I am first going to hop out of the cart. Then I'm going to use my bonus action to rage, and I'm going to run my little dwarven butt swinging my sword over his face. Can I reach his face in time?
So you're trying to punch the vulture guy?
Yeah, I'm gonna stab him with my sword.
So he moved back 30 feet, and he was, like, 10 feet away from you, so he's, like, 40? So can you still make that?
Ooh, no, I'll be five feet short, but I'm running up to him.
Okay. Yeah, he's just watching you. Come. When he walks, it looks like it's so painful. So he's just sort of, like, limping with this hunched back, staring at you, just rolling his beady eyes.
Sexy.
Anything else you would like to do on your turn?
No.
All right, so you run up to him. So now you are alone and squaring off with this hombre. And then my cultists go. Okay, so let's see. Saye, you're down on the ground. Arnadel, you're down in the room. Okay. All right, so one of them is stunned, so let me go ahead and see if he gets unstunned. Ah, natural 20. He is no longer stunned.
Fuck.
But that takes his action to do that. So the other seven, I'll send three after Saye and four after Arnadel. So the other, like, big deal cultist goes over there, two of his buddies, and they are all going to draw swords and just start stabbing at you. 12, not going to hit you, I'm assuming. Then will a 19 hit you, Saye?
Yes.
Alright, so the two little cultists are gonna land swings at you. So you will take 7 slashing damage from one.
Me?
Yep. And then, 7 from the other. So 14 slashing damage total. As the cultists square off with you, and then Arnadel, 4 of them are gonna just swarm on you.
Oh my god.
I'm about to bust out a spell that I've been dying to use for a while.
Please. All right,
what's your AC, Arnadel?
15.
So, 1 hits you, 2 hit you, 3 hit you. Okay, I got a 14, so that won't hit you. Okay, so 3 hit. Luckily, they're all the little ones. All right, so that'll be 14 damage total. As just they're ringing around you and just stabbing you with their blades. All right, and then we're back up to the top. Arnadel, you are surrounded.
This is the most perfect time to bust out the spell that has fully replaced, what is it, the Hunger of Hadar that I was so keen on?
Oh, yeah.
No more milky rubbing damage. Instead, what the fuck? Why did it take my character sheet away? Oh, I'm going to cast Shadow of Moyle.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm real stoked about this. It works. Because I got that sweet eldritch dark vision that extends to, I can see in magical darkness, so this does not affect me. Ready for this?
So ready.
Flame-like shadows wreathe my body until the spell ends, causing me to become heavily obscured to others. The shadows turn dim light within 10 feet of you into darkness and bright light into the same area to dim light. Until the spell ends, I have resistance to radiant damage. In addition, whenever a creature within 10 feet of me hits me with an attack, the shadows lash out and that creature is going to be dealt 2d8 necrotic damage.
Dope. Ooh.
That's uncomfortable. All right, so that triggers when they hit you.
Ooh, yeah.
Ugh. What does it look like? What is it just spooky?
It's like, I feel like there's a pop culture reference to this, like black flames, you know, like shadow flames. I'm a shadowy... Not the way that flames move, they're not actually flames, it's just like shadow wispiness.
Yeah. I'm imagining the creepy main chick from She-Ra like the dark sorcerer lady, like with her weird, crazy hair attacks. Ugh.
I dig it.
I was
the Shadow Whisperer.
I can't
remember what that looks like.
Shadow Weaver.
That's what it is. Thank you.
I gotta make sure this is what I'm envisioning.
Oh my god, you would love She-Ra so much.
Dude, I'm looking. Do yourself a favor. Everybody watch She-Ra. Anything else for your turn?
Yeah, that's it. I'm stoked.
Yeah. All right. And then moving along to Saye. How you feeling, buddy?
She's trying to sober up real fast, but it's also kind of giving her a false sense of confidence, even though she's fucking dying right now. So I'm at 7 hit points. Yeah. So first, I'm going to just start fucking flurry of blow. Wait, no, that's a bonus action, isn't it? First, I'm going to attack. Start a punching whatever's near me, because I know there's a lot near me.
Yeah, so you have one of the bigger deal cultists on you, and then two smaller cultists that are, like, they're stabbing you. They're surrounding you.
Yeah, okay. Well, then bigger deal cultists, I'm going to start a punching.
Okay.
18 to hit?
Yes, that will hit.
Cool. And then it's just d6. I'm just punching. 6 damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to take an extra attack. And that was, 14 to hit?
Nope. Not the bigger cultist, unfortunately.
Okay. Then I'll spend a key point to try and do Flurry of Blows. And that first hit is another 18 to hit.
Okay. Yep.
So another 6 damage.
Right.
And finally, a natural 1.
Oh. Nope. You kick your foot. Ow. Toe stub. Natural 1. Anything else?
Can I take a potion?
Yep. Drinking a bonus is a bonus. Yeah.
Then I will take a potion of greater healing. What does that do?
4d4 plus 4?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. So you're like, glug, 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 trying to drink a potion. And then, moving right along, Butterscotch. Okay, so the Arcanoloth that has been summoned into existence now is going to go ahead and send off a barrage of... You know what? He's going to do a chain lightning.
That's fucking terrible, because that spell has so many dice.
So many dice.
No, this is the one on your team.
Oh, tight, okay.
All right, Saye, all 3 cultists surrounding you drop dead. As you see, so the Arcanoloth that Butterscotch summoned, and Butterscotch has made herself scarce. But this creature, like, so it's got this big spell book in front of it, and it just, like, twists its hand, and then these bolts of just lightning energy come out, and they hit one of the cultists in the chest, and just he's, like, zapped, exploded, and then it jumps right to his friend right next to him, and just the same effect again, and one more time. And you see as it ricochets around, like, the bigger cultist's armor, it's completely shocked. And there's that moment where they're all just standing there wide-eyed, and then they all fall.
Sick.
All right, Team Butterscotch.
All right, Arnadel has taken notice. She's like, okay, chain lightning. You know that's my favorite, right?
Okay,
that's my favorite.
I see you.
Butterscotch can't cast spells, but she knows someone who can.
Who's in perpetual servitude to her now.
Fuck yeah.
Friends in high places.
We are down now to 4 regular cultists, and then 1 big deal cultist. Ooh, but then it's my turn. Let's go ahead and do, since we have a barbarian running up on us.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, a 60-foot radius.
Ooh. Ouch. That's everybody.
Okay.
Everybody in the club getting tipsy.
All right. Well, first off, I'm going to use one of my fun bonus actions. So as this happens, Carl, I need you to make a charisma saving throw. DC 20.
Is it for a charmed effect or frightening?
Nope, it is neither.
Okay.
It's corruption.
Oh.
Hell yeah. 22.
You are so lucky. You would have been under its control for 24 hours.
Fuck, that would have sucked so fucking much.
And that's a bonus action it can do.
Nuts.
Anyway, so that doesn't go off, which was just its bonus action, but it is going to cast a Circle of Death. So I need everybody to give me a Constitution saving throw.
Yes, 23.
Yeah, it's a DC 20. Saye.
Is this a magic? This is a magic spell?
It is a magic spell.
22.
20. Okay. Natural right, 20.
So y'all are only taking half damage.
Oh, okay. Great.
Oh, wait. Is that worth predicting?
16. So 34 total. So if you rolled over 20, you're only taking half of that. So 17.
I'm so glad you did the math for me.
It is necrotic damage, Brittany. So you have resistance to that, don't you?
I actually have resistance to radiant damage.
Oh, okay.
Right back down to 5 hit points.
Oh boy. And so this wave of just disgusting, awful energy just exudes from this as this ripple of just death comes out from this creature. And then that was its turn there. So it will go ahead and then it passes to Kara.
Oh boy, so we are running up on this fool, close that last little 5-foot gap, and then I'm going to use my bonus action to try and shove him to the ground.
Okay.
Oh yes, 19.
Okay. 8.
Yes, you are knocked prone, my friend.
Yes.
And now I shall attack you with my beautiful sword.
Meh.
Hey, pretty lady.
Hey, pretty lady.
Thanks, babe.
And I got an 18 to hit.
That will not hit.
Oh,
something
shit.
About the way his skin is like twisted and leathery just makes your sword clang off of it.
Right. Mm-mm. Weird. That's so weird. I don't like that. But a 23 for the second hit.
I'm sorry, what was that, Sage?
A 23 for the second hit.
Yes, a 23 will hit.
Woo!
Oh, you know what? No. He's going to cast shield.
Fair.
Doesn't hit. So as you go down and you're like, I got to press harder, he's going to like, he just, this blue sheen goes up over him. So you can't seem to find a purchase.
I'm real mad. It's made me all the more angry.
All right.
And that will be my turn.
The 7 habits of highly efficient mages. Shield 7 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not right.
All right, and then my cultists. Okay, so 4 of them are gonna try and attack you, Arnadel. So let's see how this goes.
Are they rolling it? Is it like at a disadvantage because they can't see me?
Oh, that's
a
good point.
I'm obscured and black.
So they have disadvantage from the vision, but they have advantage from pack tactics, so they're going to be rolling
neutral.
At it.
It's been neutralized. Neutral.
So, all right, so only 2 of them managed to hit you. All right, so, oh, wow, they're rolling so good. So you're going to take 14 slashing damage.
Okay.
From the 2 of them, and then go ahead and roll that damage against me.
Okay, that's 3 and 7. Oh, sorry, 3 and 7 is going to be 10. 10 total for one of them, and 12 damage for the second.
Okay, how do you want your spell to kill these
2? Oh, shit! Woo! Yes! Hold on, beautiful. Wait, before we go any further, I have to add my damage.
Look at all of these red HP bars, guys.
Cool, I'm at 16 hit points. Okay, so as they, like, damn. The 2 try to hit me and it misses and, like, all this, like, fucking... I'm thinking Lord of the Rings, like the Nazgul, when Frodo actually sees them in their true form in the in-between, mm-hmm. But instead of white, that's like black, like fucking shifty shit. So one of the tendrils that's like flame-like tendrils reaches around each of their little fucking scrawny necks and just snaps them.
Nice. Yeah, and you do, you just hear that sickening as their spines are severed and they just drop down.
I want them to take a movement. I am going to fucking move as close as possible to Dickwad without, so maybe like, I want to be fit within 15 feet of Dickwad.
You do still have 2 cultists on you, so you will take 2 opportunity attacks if you move.
Then I suppose I must disengage.
So you're disengaging with your turn and then moving?
Within 15 feet of Dickwad.
So you move 30 feet, and then so this guy is going to be 10 feet away from you now. Okay. So this globe of darkness just goes. All right. And then Saye. So right now you are the only one still in the back, not by this vulture hombre. There are two small cultists and one largely untouched big boy cultist.
So the cultists are just kind of on their own outside this then.
Yeah, they're fighting you. Everybody else has run out of, like, the first initial combat zone where the cultists attacked.
Well, I only have 5 points of health, so let's attack one of them.
Okay.
All right.
Do you want to attack one of the two smalls or one of the one big?
One of the smalls.
Okay.
And that was a 15 to hit.
Okay, that will do it.
Oh, good. Very good. Punchies. 7 damage.
All right, how do you want to take this guy out?
Nice.
It's like, see, like all my moves, ideas are just coming from Avatar. But do you remember the chi blocker in Avatar?
Oh, I love her. I fucking love her. She's the shit.
She
was great.
She's like, blocks people's chi and stuff. Yeah, exactly. You see Saya like kind of cartwheel around him and like very swiftly like, go into, like, very sharply, like, these corners right underneath the ear and the skull, like, where the base of the neck meet the skull. And, like, essentially, like, stop blood flow.
Yeah. That's rough. Yep, you get in there. So you got another attack. Do you want to go for the other small?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Oh, that's nothing good. That was a 14 to hit.
That will still do it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
These guys are little babies.
Little babies? Okay, well, there's another 7 damage.
All right, that kills it, too. So you're just in deft moves. Yeah. You take out the two smalls. So you have just one cultist now that's in front of you looking down at all his dead friends. Like, though, honestly, they have been pretty expressionless.
I was so going to ask if they had, like,
Then finally, I'm going to spend another key point to do Flurry of Blows on the big guy.
Nice.
16 to hit.
That will do it.
8 damage.
Okay.
And once more. Ooh. 6 to hit.
No.
Cool.
Okay, and then Butterscotch. So the Arcanoloth now will go, and after it summoned the chain lightning and had that all bounce around, it's going to look in its book and kind of scan, and then point at this cultist. Whose heart explodes.
And oh my god.
Drops dead right in front of you.
Oh my goodness.
You just see blood start to like come out of his eyes and his ears, and then suddenly he just falls dead. And the Arcanoloth looks around and sort of, like, starts moving closer towards the vulture thing. All right, and then it's my vulture thing. So, now that it is confronted, like, Kara is there. It's prone on the ground right now, and it can see the shadow of darkness coming in, and all of its cultists are dead. It just looks up and addresses all of you, and, well, we'll finish this at a later date.
No!
But nothing but time. And as it says so, he blinks. Just out of existence.
I angrily swing at the, like, puff of smoke that is left by him blinking out of existence. I'm just fucking swinging in a cloud and yelling.
Yeah. Like, no! No! No!
No!
So, you are left now with this sort of empty scene. You see their carriage is still back along the road that didn't, like, boop over in the teleportation. And you have these 8 bodies of these wood elves around you. And you're standing in the open night. And you hear the Arcanoloth. There's the book just closes. And Butterscotch says, "That will be all." And then the Arcanoloth disappears.
Whoa, fuck yeah. All right, more respect.
I have so many feelings about this situation.
Mm-hmm. And Arnadel, it's at this time that your hand starts to hurt.
What?
Real bad. As you see your Sisters of Sorrow emblem just like starts glowing, and you are no longer standing in this field. You are in a very familiar parlor.
What the fuck?
Oh, with the sisters sitting all around you, you find yourself in a comfy, like, stuffed chair, and you see the 3 sisters across from you are all, like, snuggled up together on this couch. "Some tea, dear. It's so nice to see you. It's been such a long time," Lachesis says as she offers you a cup of tea.
I,
For the record, Arnadel fucking hates tea, but she's in shock, so she just takes it. She's just like...
So, dear, so sorry to interrupt what you're doing, but we need to have a chat.
Oh my god.
She's still, like, totally just, like, holy fuck. Like, it's been a while. So she tries to... Alright. Hey, I'm really happy to be back. Like, she holds her hand up. She's, like, really happy to have this back. By the way.
Oh, we are very good to see you back, to have this reinstated. The web is looking healthier once again, which we're all just so relieved by. This arrangement seems to be working out quite nicely. Well, until today.
Please.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other sisters, she points towards a corner of the room now and says, we've been doing some negotiating. And you see that you look in this corner of the room and there is a bird perch, like, in the corner of the room that you don't remember being there before. And sitting on top of it is, like, it's a baby raven. So it's still, like, in the gray, like,
fluffy
stage. And this thing is just walking back and forth, kind of nervously on. But it's, like, even for a baby, you recognize it. It's huge.
Well, yeah. Since I had to sacrifice the other two.
The other ones died, so this is the new raven. And so one of the sisters look over sort of with distaste at the raven and then look back at you. As we said, some negotiations. It seems, well, the Raven Queen has something for you to do that must take precedence over everything that is happening right now.
Are they okay?
Oh, who, your friends? They're fine. You'll be gone but a moment. We'll allow you to say goodbye and everything, of course. And the little baby raven hops down because it can't really fly yet. So it's just moving across the floor. And out of its mouth, you hear, familiar, Arnadel, good to see you. You're looking well.
Arnadel's more hung up on the fact that the sisters just said, like, I was going to be willing to say goodbye. And she's like, it's good to see you, too. You are in a new form.
Yes, I had to replace my mouthpiece, as it was, since it got used up last time. So, I'm gonna cut right to the point. I believe you just ran into a situation, which I may or may not have instigated. But here's the nature of the thing. I need you to go and kill that creature. And 12 others like it.
Okay.
And I need you to do it as quickly as possible.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you give me some information on these guys? Because, like, I've never seen anything like that before. Or read about. I've never even, like, I like obscure texts and whatnot. Like, I've gone to the forbidden section of the library, and I've never come across anything like that.
They are called the Nagpa. And they are, I'm not going to lie to you, they're incredibly dangerous. There are 13 of them. Once upon a time, I wasn't trapped like I am now in my realm. I was a mortal who had aspirations for more until I was betrayed by 13 spellcasters. And I took my vengeance upon them and made those creatures into what they are today. I'm not sure. Well, I've been looking for them for quite a while, and apparently it's worked. The fact that one came to find you means that I've successfully drawn them out. So if one is ready to show their cards, the other 12 can't be far behind. But now that they know you're connected to me, they're not going to stop hunting you. So I'm thinking you should be hunting them.
There's a split second that happens where Arnadel, like, the worry and, like, concern suddenly completely evaporates, and she, like, steals herself, and she's like, all right, I'm fucking down. There's, like, all, instead of being, like, scared and worried that things aren't going the way that, you know, like, she grips the living fuck out of the reins of this, like, little cart that she's on called Adventure in Life. She's like, yeah, let's go fucking on a detour and down to hunt some little dickheads, some little knobby, wrinkly dickheads that need to be taken the fuck out.
Now that we're aware they're after you, I will, of course, do all I can to provide support and information, but that will have to come later. You will need to head out very soon, but like I said, take the evening to say farewell to your friends. And I might suggest bringing that Aaron fellow of yours with you. He's handy in a lot of ways.
Saucy. I'm kind of low key gonna high five about being Eskimo sisters, but girl, like, come on.
With the raven.
Come on, queen. Come on. Like, give me a break.
Yes.
Like, I respect you.
And at this too, the sisters have been letting this raven, the raven queen, speak to you. And at this point, yes. So as we said, we have brokered this arrangement, so you will be able to go and take the time to make this happen. And in the meanwhile, we will be sending one of our chosen to assist the other maidens in their endeavors. It is the best we can do on short notice.
I know that you are all-knowing, but you can understand my concerns, right? I this is the first time that I've been apart from Saya and Kara since we've joined your organization, and I look over at the little tiny raven and I'm like, I believe in all of you guys. I'm putting trust. I mean, you know, I don't have to say it. You know, I fucking trust you guys. Like, I'm gonna go get some knobby dickhead hunting done.
and Clotho takes your hand in her gnarled, maybe not gnarled. You don't know, like the age phasing thing still throws you off when you look at them. But she takes your hand and she says, dear, you must make it alive through all of this, for you still have this final piece to play. That day hasn't come yet, but it will come. So make it back to us in one piece.
As she nods, like gravely, earnestly.
Mm-hmm. And the raven says, well, this has been lovely. But I think we need to get a move on. Like I said, I'll send for you in the morning.
Okay. I'll see you soon.
And with that, you're back. It's been a second, you know, so much so that your companions didn't even notice it happened. But you're all standing there on this field.
Carl is still wildly swinging their sword about and then just becomes really aggravated. And then just storms in a huff back over to the cart, gets back on the cart, and slams the cart door.
The cart is pretty messed up now because it took a fireball.
Oh my god, that's
right.
What's
up with that fancy cart? Is that still there?
The carriage is still there.
Oh!
Let's commandeer that shit.
So
check out that carriage.
Alright, so you want to continue back to the estate?
Yeah. And
are you saying anything, Arnadel, to your companions?
Yeah. She's like, hey, so I can surmise that this is what happened pre-Raven Queen when you guys were telling me about this like little prophecy thing. You were bamfed into the parlor. So that just happened? Like now?
They do like to butt in at inconvenient times.
Yeah, I'm assuming you probably didn't notice because I didn't notice when it happened to you guys. But yeah.
No, I did not.
Saya is, like, feeling the hangover very much already because she's also in a lot of pain from that battle. She fucking suffered a lot.
Poor Saya.
She's just like, oh my god, so much is happening tonight. Now you're leaving.
Hey, I've got one more spell slot I can give you. Like, I'm just gonna use Cure Wounds.
Okay, but it won't cure my heart. Thank you.
Yeah, I have to go.
Go do what?
So, you know, obviously the sisters of Lachesis, Atropos, and Clothos are all in favor of my new pact with the Raven Queen. So I just had a meeting with all four of them. And in support of what we're doing for this whole, like, tapestry that's been weaved and we're trying to reinforce the weave. Part of that is that I have to go serve my queen. And she needs me to go take out 13 of those jackasses that we just met. I have to... They're going to be hunting me. And you remember the whole Dendar thing and how that turned out? So the hunted must now become the hunter. Huntress. I'm going to be Huntress. And don't worry, I'm not going to be alone. Aaron's going, is being assigned to go with me. And if that fucker can take out a dragon, I'm quite sure that together we'll be able to kick some ass and accomplish this mission very quickly.
Well, you know we would be going with you too if we didn't have all these stupid things to do for these stupid people.
You know I would much rather be doing those stupid things with you guys than going... I mean, granted, I'm stoked Aaron's coming, but also I would way rather be taking out knobbly dickheads with you guys. Like, aren't you the one that, like, throws darts to people's butts?
Yeah, I do. I do that. I can't believe you remember.
I'm never gonna forget.
I miss you so much.
Butterscotch is like, oh, so when are you leaving?
I completely ignore Butterscotch and I turn to Kara and I'm like, I'm just gonna be quiet because I know you don't like words. And I just start crying.
You can grab my butt if you would like to. I know you've been staring at it.
I'm like, shut up! As I go and grab it. And it's real nice. I'm sure it's like a fucking apple.
It is very firm.
And I'm like, Card.
Human perfection butt.
Anyway. So you eventually, you make it back to Finn's estate. And when you get there, everybody's already asleep except for Isolde, who nods knowingly at you, Arnadel, as you kind of settle in, and she wishes you luck.
Actually, like, exude the most, respect, like, sincere, like, you know, woo-woo, back to Isolde, you know, like, let's put our past behind us, and she's just like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Once we see Isolde, I want to let her know. I put my both hands on her shoulders and go, hey, I'm pretty sure Ren helped us out while we were out there. So, you know, I think she's low-key following us around. But I don't know for sure. Just want to let you know. She's around.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, she looks kind of pained and looks at the floor and... I'm not surprised. Thank you. Did she look okay?
We didn't get a good look at her, but she came in clutch. We needed help. She was there. She hasn't totally abandoned us.
That's good to know. But anyway, we'll go over everything in the morning. Just get some sleep.
Good night.
Arnadel, is there anything else you would like to say or do before you ride off in the morning?
That evening, I'm sure obviously the higher ups already know what's up. I'm sure Isolde is privy to all the information and has, like, things. So I'm going to, like, make my rounds, like, respectful rounds. Because, you know, like, back in the old days, if you go out for milk, you could die. Like, this isn't just an
Yep. Real.
Yes. Right. So she, like, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm just, you know, like, see you soon and wish me luck because I'm going to fucking need it. And she's going to end up, you know, obviously she touches base with Aaron and she's like, yeah, so all right, like, getting up at this time. You ready to ride? All right, cool. Got everything packed tight. Hey, can you hang on to Alistar? I'm going to go. I got to spend some time with Sawyer and Kara. And so I'm going to, like, guess who's got a pony keg of water, of electrolyte water.
Gatorade.
I got some Pedialyte, you know, like the freezer pops, because those are about 1,000 times better than regular Pedialyte. And some Advil. So I'm going to show up and I'm going to, like, quietly knock on everybody's room and be like, all right, let's go. We got one more. We got to have, like, another one of these nights before I go, guys.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
So we're going to have a toast to Pedialyte.
Good. Mm-hmm. And so you spend, the night together, catching up, doing what you all do. And in the morning, Arnadel and Aaron ride off to destinations and adventures unknown. And that's where we're going to end for today. Oh, no. Goodbye. Goodbye, Arnadelle. Oh. So just so you all know, I did say this last episode, but Brittany, while she is on this tour of the U.S., will not be playing with us. So we will be joined by a guest player. Her name is Katie. She's a great friend of mine. I stream with her on Monday nights over on Nerd Immersion. She's fantastic. And I'm really excited for you all to get to meet her and to play with her. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Brittany will be coming back. So don't be heartbroken, everybody. But yeah, so thank you all so much. And thank you for all the new follows and likes and everything. You guys are awesome and killing it. Yeah, so thank you so much. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
I'm your Moon Elf Warlock, Arnadelle Athil, played by Brittany Quintero. And I'm going to miss you guys.
We're going to miss you so much. As like, Saya already said in her white girl wasted state. Just love you so fucking much.
I love you too. You're like, shut up, bitch. You're like the best.
We're like, that's my fucking bitch. Yeah. Yeah. I was your intoxicated human monk, Saya Noor, played by Nassim.
Yes, and I'm Sage, and I played Kara Brynhilda, your dwarven barbarian.
All right. Well, thank you all so much. This feels, I'm not going to be sad. So we're going to see you all next time. And until then,
Venture away.
Venture away, everybody. Pineapple. You've made it to the end of the episode. Perfect. Just in time for me to tell you all about the fine folks at Elderwood Academy. Elderwood Academy are artisans who craft amazing gaming products, including dice towers, dice trays, dice boxes, deck boxes, dice, and more. All products are crafted to look like spellbooks, scroll cases, codexes, and all the other awesome fantasy gear we love. Everything you could think of to sit on your table to make people know that you are really freaking serious about playing your games. So right now, I'm saving up to get myself one of their Codex Dice Towers, which are completely customizable towers that use leather and handcrafted wood pieces to create a beautiful and functional dice tower. They look like scroll cases. It's so cool. There are seriously so many options you can pick for customization. So you can pick your leather color. So they have everything from like black to ivory, crimson, purple. Choose your art design. They have a ton of cool ones already loaded in there. I mean, like little skulls or phoenixes or just cool arcane runes. You can choose your foil color. So, you know, if you want that in gold, silver, pink, iridescent, teal, they've got a ton of different options there. There's just so many options to ensure that you get to design the exact piece you want. So, listeners, go find this product, the Codex Dice Tower, and many other fine products like it by going to elderwoodacademy.com/don't split. Again, that's elderwoodacademy.com/don't split. And also, I just got to say, they make great gifts too. So get on over there and check them out. All right, bye for now.